This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Just when they thought it couldn't get any worse, a cyclone slams into India's east coast. Closer to home, a gunman killed 8 co-workers at a California transit facility. Sad story out of San Jose. And the latest on where we are with the COVID numbers and what's happening in the States versus in other places. And, of course, the big interest is what's going on with the origins of COVID. Will we ever know? Was it a lab leak? Was it something else? Theories abound. Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney. Welcome to the show. If it's your first time in, thanks. Coming up this hour, a mailbag, also a conversation with Matthew Gorge, CEO and founder of Vigi Trust, and author of a book that I think is, now more important than ever, The Cyber Elephant in the Boardroom, Cyber Accountability with the 5 Pillars of Security Framework. Boy, you definitely need those pillars in place. As we've seen every single day, it seems like another domino falls. Let's talk first about this gunman who really shocked and shook up San Jose rail yard. I forget where I was when this was texted to me by somebody, and then I quickly went and looked up more on it because I spent a bunch of time in San Jose, and I have a longtime friend who was an anchor there and is in that Bay Area, and they were all talking about it. And what happened was that he was an employee of this Valley Transportation Authority. That's what they call it. And, of course, he's dead. He has been identified as Sam Cassidy, and he came in, opened fire, killed at least the 8 coworkers. He wounded another. He wasn't a stranger to the people he shot. The victims and the shooter knew each other well. They ranged in age from 29 to 63. So sad, as the medical examiner went through and identified the people that he worked with and those, of course, that were killed. And they were all there in the morning together as they normally would be. Apparently, in the past, he had spoken pretty angrily about his coworkers and resented his work, hated his work. That's what his ex-wife is saying when she was asked. She said he had 2 sides. When he was in good mood, he was a great guy. When he was mad, he was mad. And what they're saying in this investigation is that just that he knew that there was law enforcement that was they were coming, and he took his life right as the deputies were, you know, running next door, running to get to the situation. And the good news, I suppose, and there's not much good news in this, there really isn't. It's sick and it's tragic and another senseless shooting. But the fact that the San Jose police officers were so close and they ran into the building and as that shooting was happening, and they believe that some lives were saved anyway because he turned the gun on himself when he knew that they were there. One wounded person, like I said, is in critical condition. The motive. What makes somebody do this? Were there red flags about his intention? He had more than one gun. We know that. They also got information about an explosive device, maybe a couple of them, it looks like, inside the transit building because the bomb squad was there. They investigated it. Beforehand, a house erupted in flames in San Jose around the same time the shooting started to happen, you know, after that. And it's believed to be his house. It started very, very early, 6:30 in the morning Pacific time. There were a lot of calls to 911 of shots fired near the VTA control center because it's a hub that stores light rail trains and it's a maintenance yard. and they went into active shooter protocol immediately. This is a horrible, terrible, awful tragedy. By the way, the mass shooting is the 232nd incident in which at least four people were shot in the U.S. so far this year. This year. So if he was ranting about his job, hated his coworkers, if the wife is right, I'm sure that this is part of what will be traced back to potentially what ignited him and what drove him to finally, you know, fall off a cliff, so to speak, with his emotions and do what happened. But again, I have no great insight into that, only what the ex-wife, who had been the ex-wife for 10 years, said, and then the crazy thing about the fire, etc. I just know that it's incredibly sad, and the anxiety and the fear among the employees there had to be incredibly high. And how about family members who knew that their loved ones were there, and were they one of the victims, or did they make it through? And that took time to sort all of that out. So who's affected? Children, parents, spouses, people who love the people who were gunned down and killed in this senseless act of violence, but by somebody who was obviously out of his mind at the time. But the motive and more specifics on that, you know, who knows? Even the governor of California, who is in the middle of his own fight to keep his job with this whole recall thing going on, Governor Newsom, said, really the quote of it all, what the hell is wrong with us? You know, what is wrong? What is going on here? It is awful to get these texts and to see these things that happen. All right, so we move on to what I mentioned at the top two as well, India and their East Coast being battered. We know that right now with hospitals, oxygen running out, all the problems they're having in India with massive amounts of COVID cases. Very, very sad. And now this on top of it, you got tens of thousands of people who are now homeless because of this cyclone that swept into the Bay of Bengal on Wednesday, and it inundated some of those low-lying villages. And you had gusts of you know, wind up to 87 miles an hour. So that's kind of the equivalent of a Cat 1 Atlantic hurricane when it hit landfall. So it just tore through lots of areas, mass evacuations, and this is in the middle of a deadly second wave of the coronavirus. And in this area, it's a state. West Bengal is a state that an eastern state that borders Bangladesh, and there's about 1,100 villages flooded by the storm surges. So that led to so many of the people being homeless. And there are videos and shots of people with water up to their waist where they're trying to find relief and higher ground. And in India, the National Disaster Response Force and the Indian military were deployed, of course, to try to rescue and give relief to those that have been trapped along the coast. But just devastating time for this to happen. They had to suspend testing, vaccination, and they do this door-to-door health survey. All of that went down because of the weather. All right, coming up on the flip side, odds and ends. What else is going on that you might not know, creating buzz across my backyard and yours?
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, AmeriCare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase Nano Colloidal Silver now at ImmuneSupportNow.com. That's ImmuneSupportNow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
If you feel America is facing more dangers than ever, you're right. Things are falling apart, it seems, every day. That's why you need to prepare for more of the unexpected, especially food shortages. When people panic, grocery stores run out of food fast. Would you survive without food for days, weeks, even months? The smart folks are buying emergency food now. Take a moment to shop MyPatriotSupply.com. We're America's leader in preparedness. With over a dozen years' experience, My Patriot Supply has earned over 40,000 four-star and five-star reviews. Our delicious, calorie-rich food averages 2,000 calories per day and lasts in storage up to 25 years, so it's there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com, order a kit or two, and we'll ship quickly and discreetly to your door. Don't wait for something bad to happen again. Rather, be more self-reliant and prepared. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Hi, this is Kate Delaney, and I have a confession to make. I'm addicted to journaling. So many of the ideas I get from my radio show or books hit me at weird times, and I need to write them down. Does that happen to you? So I decided to create my own journal with my pal Jackie. Looking for a great gift for your wife, sister, mother, aunt, friend, or boss to end 2020 or kick off 2021? My girlfriend's gratitude journal includes inspirational quotes and loads of room to write, and it just dropped. Here's the best part. You'll also get a copy of my Forbes book, Deal Your Own Destiny. Increase your odds, win big, and become extraordinary. It's loaded with ways to chart your own life and filled with the success habits with some of the biggest names on the planet, stuff they share with me that can help catapult you. Here's the best part. For both hardcover books, it's just $29.99. Yep, go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer. Again, all of it for just $29.99. I got the shipping covered. What are you waiting for? Just go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer today.
All right, America, how you doing? I'd like to say that this show is about all kinds of things that are making us crazy or happy. Yeah, is there such a thing? In these United States of America, and a big shout out to the people listening to us off our shores, too, as well. So we've gotten to know many from Australia, thanks to Author's Corner and the UK and several other countries, and we've really learned some fascinating things over the course of this pandemic. There's no question about that. So speaking of the pandemic, yes, this is a conversation that started right in the very beginning. Where did this thing start? There is more attention, a brighter light that is back on the idea of that there was a lab leak. But there's no cooperation with China. So how are you going to be able to reach the conclusions within, by the way, a three-month period that President Biden has requested, because he renewed a call for intelligence officials to find the definitive origin of the coronavirus? You know, I don't know that we will ever know that. If China doesn't cooperate and we don't have access to what they know, it's theories that we can throw against the wall. And are there new clues? Is there new proof? Where's the evidence that either say, yes, that this was something that happened in the lab or not? What are the likely scenarios? Well, we know some of them because they've been talked about. They've been talked about from the beginning of the virus hitting us clearly over a year ago. So with what's going on, by the way, too, with some being so anti-China, there are former skeptics that want to reconsider some of the existing evidence as to the lab theory. The World Health Organization, their investigation, dismissed a link between the lab in Wuhan and the outbreak. The origin. We can throw darts at a board and come up with all kinds of theories on this, but the evidence. Now, the lab leak theory, by the way, started to really circulate in January of 2020. I remember this because this is when I was getting ready to go on the road. And the virus was mostly confined to China, and it had killed hundreds. And so there was conversation about this. So the links between that, the WIV, the lab, and the virus were floated. They started to be floated a lot. And then that was quickly dismissed because the idea that the coronavirus was intentionally developed, of course, as a bioweapon was thrown out as kooky and conspiracy and, you know, et cetera. And then there was this just a suggestion that there was a bat virus being studied in some potentially risky experiments. And that theory held more water, if you will, that it could have escaped the lab that way. There were a bunch of journalists that were looking into it, including two from the Washington Post, who talked about it a lot and trying to get some traction, prove it, etc., and look at the evidence. In the end, one of them reported that the U.S. Officials involved in trying to find out and pinpoint it had raised concerns about safety at the lab, you know, back in 2018, and whether the staff was interacting with bats in the wild or in the lab, and are they routinely putting themselves at risk for infection. Most pandemics pass from an animal to a human through infection. And there are plenty of virologists that say this is the path. This is most likely what happened in the start, as the start of the novel coronavirus. But there still is a lot of evidence, you know, missing evidence as to the origins of it. And there's not full cooperation with China. So you're just getting a little bit here, a little bit there, and then you do these analysis, you look at genetic code, trying to figure all of that out, and without the full cooperation, I don't know that you ever truly, truly nail this. I mean, if the president says, I want the definitive answer, I don't know, Joe. I don't know that, Perez, that you're going to get that we want to know what happened here. I don't know that we can really say that anytime soon unless there's more cooperation from China. One thing we can say is for all the people who are cruise crazy, Celebrity Cruises got the CDC approval for a June comeback. That's pretty big. It's the first sail from U.S. waters. Yeah. So they're going to require vaccinations, though. 16 and older when they start sailing again. And there have been several cruise lines that have announced plans to return to service after what's been, I guess, a 15-month halt because of the pandemic. But it became official on Wednesday that they have paying passengers. They got the go-ahead, and they're confirmed, they're approved, and they're excited that the day has arrived, that the crew is going to be vaccinated, of course, and passengers will have to be as well. And you 16 and older, you have to be fully vaccinated. And passengers 18 and older from the UK have to be vaccinated because they'll get some from the UK as well that would be on those cruise ships. They didn't talk about what kind of health and safety rules passengers would face, what kind of protocols, what would they do, any of that kind of thing. The one thing the website does say, if you go to it, you know what the biggest perk is? More space, more luxury. in restaurants and venues because you're not going to have the capacity. There would be a reduced capacity. So you will have more space. So we know that's going to be something that they're going to look at. And some of these boats are pretty big. But so that's interesting when you look at how much they could reduce it. But they have the green light to go ahead and do it. And while some cruise lines are kind of scrapping a little bit of the summer and trying to salvage it in a different way, that's certainly not what's happening here. You know that all eyes will be on the floating Petri dish to see what happens. And I know a lot of you have filled up the mailbag, who have taken cruises in the past to Alaska and other places, cannot wait for that to happen. So perhaps some of you will be on maybe one of those cruises. Coming up next, we're talking about cyber security breaches, hacks, ransomware, and the massive problem. I mean, look, a cyber criminal only has to get lucky one time. And basically, you know, this is happening every, 39 seconds, some kind of hack. And ransomware, as we know, is a malware that demands ransom in exchange for decrypting files or to prevent the sharing of stolen data. And certainly it's a nightmare for IT departments, companies, you know, et cetera. And we looked at the Colonial Pipeline, where hackers got $4.4 million to restore systems to operate, you know, that gas pipeline that supplies 45% of the East Coast. There was also CNA Financial, the insurance company that paid $40 million in March to get free from a ransomware attack. In 2020, ransomware victims coughed up a total of $350 million. And you look at who the targets are besides big companies. Public health, local governments, schools. 57% of all attacks in August and September 2020 were on K through 12 schools. And the downtime from an attack can be crazy. 21 days can easily be 21 days. So now the Washington Post was reporting that the Department of Homeland Security is preparing to issue its first mandatory cybersecurity regulations on pipelines. In the past, TSA has provided voluntary guidelines on cybersecurity for pipelines. Now they're talking about they've upped how many employees they have. They had already done that a little bit. They started with 6. Now they have 34. The TSA is going to require pipeline companies to report cyber incidents to the federal government. Ooh. Stay with us.
You will not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Shag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised.
If you are trying to quit drinking or doing too many drugs, listen to me. You don't know me and we'll never meet. I had a problem like you once. I drank and used to party a little too much till it got out of control and almost ruined my life. I realized I needed help to fix my problem before it totally destroyed me. If you've tried to fix your drinking and drug problem and you know you can't do it alone, you need to call the National Treatment Advisors. They'll immerse you into a 30-day program to replace your old habits with new habits and totally change your life. And if you have PPO private health insurance, the entire program may be covered. Fix your problem right now before it gets any worse. Get clean. Call now and learn more. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News with Dan Naraki.
8 people were killed Wednesday when a gunman opened fire at a light rail yard in San Jose. The shooter, identified as 57-year-old Sam Cassidy, was an employee at the Santa Clara Valley Transportation Authority facility. The Santa Clara County Sheriff says that they also found explosive materials in the building. Officials say Cassidy is among the dead. They believe he died of a self-inflicted gunshot. No clear motive has been identified. VTA officials say that light rail services will be suspended for several days while the investigation at the yard continues. And President Biden has asked U.S. intelligence officials for a definitive conclusion on the source of COVID-19. In a statement, Biden says he's asked the intelligence community to redouble their efforts to find evidence that could bring them closer to a definitive answer on the virus's origins. Biden says the intelligence community is focusing on two likely scenarios, a laboratory accident or human contact with an infected animal. This is USA Radio News. Ohio drew its first winner Wednesday in its Vax-a-Million program, giving away $1 million to a lucky resident who has received at least one dose of COVID vaccine. On Tuesday, Colorado became the latest state to offer a lottery for those who get vaccinated, announcing a similar program to Ohio's. Former acting director of the CDC, Dr. Richard Besser, says he'll be interested to see if those incentives drove people to roll up their sleeves. He tells CBS News that it's possible that the many offers could also be seen by the public as a bribe.
I'll be interested to see what studies show in terms of incentives, because there's a wide range of incentives that are out there. For some people who are on the fence who are saying, you know what, I do want to get vaccinated, but I'm not in any rush. You know, when it's convenient, I'll do it. But when they see an incentive, they'll say, wow, I'd really like that gift card. I'm going to go do that. But there's also some concern that people don't want to feel coerced or bribed into doing something. And the sense of, well, if I have to be bribed to do this, is there something wrong with that?
You're listening to USA Radio News.
I spend a lot of time in the garage, but even more time in the rain, sleet, and mud. In 95, I helped tow your moving trailer. In 05, I helped you get out of a ditch. Yeah, I know I'm a bit rusty, and sadly in 09, it was sparks from me, your handy chains, dragging behind your truck that accidentally started a wildfire.
Sparks from dragging chains can start a wildfire. Spark a change, not a wildfire. Visit SmokeyBear.com, brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
Matthew Gourd, CEO and founder of DigiTrust and author of The Cyber Elephant in the Boardroom, Cyber Accountability with the Five Pillars of Security Framework, joins us. We just talked about the Colonial Pipeline and the significance of it. Matt, what's your take on it?
Yeah, so the pipeline hack is what we would call a standard kind of hack, which is driven to get some money out of a big company. So there's nothing new there. What is new is that the company made a decision relatively quickly to pay the ransom in order to get the operations back. Now, what's interesting is that the attack wasn't actually on the pipeline itself. It was on the back office, but the back office being linked to the pipeline means that everything is connected. And so therefore, they made a decision which was a risk-based decision, which basically said we can't afford to have the pipeline out of operations for much longer. It's not something that we want to do. We could potentially look at the backups that we have and bring everything back up within a given period of time. But the benefits of paying outweighed the drawbacks. Now, that's one way of looking at it. And if you look at it, it was probably a financially based decision. And the issue with that is that you're sending the wrong message to the attackers. First of all, you're sending the message that it's no problem for you to get approval to get 4 or 5 million very quickly. Secondly, you're sending a message that you actually trust that the key they're going to send you, if they send it to you, will actually work. And then thirdly, you're basically setting yourself as a ransom payer, right? Which really, it is not the right thing to do. So it, the the challenge from a board perspective or from a senior management perspective, it was to take the right decision. And I think that in their case, they just say we had to make that decision.
So they did it.
So yeah. they did it. They didn't want to try and stay out of operations for much longer.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, what they are doing right now is they're reviewing all of their disaster recovery and business continuity plans, all of their backups, as they should, because the likelihood is that they're going to be attacked again, maybe by a different group.
Right, because as you said, they leave themselves wide open to that because they set themselves up as payers. So, yeah.
Right. It's like when you're in school and somebody beats you up and you do nothing about it, they're going to come back and beat you up again.
Yeah, yeah.
Until you take corrective action. Right. Yeah. And in this case, corrective action is to have a look at the attack surface for the whole operation, reduce the attack surface, maybe use cyber insurance for the parts that can be that can be insured, although after being hacked, it's the wrong time to go and ask for cyber insurance, and also build a relationship with law enforcement before you have a problem. I've always said that you need to build a relationship with law enforcement long before you suspect you've had an issue, because first of all, they can provide you with information as to what's happening in the industry, who's being targeted, and you can essentially be prepared. And also, you don't want to start trying to understand how they work when they're at your door. You want to understand how they can help you, the kind of information they're going to ask you, because it will be disruptive. In order for them to do their job correctly, they'll be asking a lot of questions. They'll be asking to talk to a lot of people who might be in pure crisis management mode, you know?
Yeah. We jump from transportation to healthcare, Ireland, the cyber attack there. And you and I had an interesting off-air conversation about it. And you brought to light some things that I didn't think about and some great risks and some changes that will happen as a result of that. So talk about that.
So the health service executive, which manages all of the hospitals on behalf of the government in Ireland, was victim of a ransomware attack, and essentially it got most of the hospitals on their knees and sent them back to pre-computer age. In this case, the government was very, very clear that they weren't going to pay, which I think is an excellent message. It's a very strong message to say, okay, it might take us longer to get back up and running, but we are not going to pay. It's also sending a message that the Computer Crime Bureau from the Guards, the Irish Police, is taking this really seriously, and that Ireland Inc., so to speak, is not open to paying ransomware, because if the government doesn't do it, you can be sure that most industries won't do it. The real challenge here is that unlike the pipeline, where some people were, didn't have access to gas, the prices went up, and so on. With the healthcare system, you're actually talking about my health and about my life, right? So, when you attack a hospital and you bring them down, you're not only attacking them financially, you're actually affecting the health of real people. Right. And so what we're seeing right now is some hospitals in Ireland where when you go in, they actually, the admin staff are actually working with you and everything is paper based. So they're actually asking you for all the information that you might have stored on an app on your phone. And they're asking you to share information in a way that is completely not secure, because you have to give it to them and you have to show it to them. And there's no tracking of that, right? So that information is now paper-based. It's going to stay paper-based until the systems are back up and running. There will be an issue with accuracy of the information when it's transferred from paper to digital. But also, what are we going to do with all of that paper-based information? Do we need to keep it? Do we legally need to keep it? This is probably breaking every GDPR regulation article and rule, because the main goal here is to get back up and running and to be able to help people that need health support. And so compliance and security come second. So I do think that hackers that are going after health systems are taking a huge risk, because certainly we've seen huge cooperation between Interpol, the FBI, the Irish police, the UK police, the French police, and they are going to go after those groups. And equally, there's a school of thought out there in the security industry that says that other groups of hackers, other criminal gangs, are actually not pleased with that because it's putting the wrong focus on their industry in inverted commas, you know, and they don't want that limelight on them. They don't want new regulation. They don't want more cooperation between various law enforcement agencies worldwide. They don't want that. So I think that they took a huge risk.
Boy, no kidding. And as we see that unravel, we'll wonder that the lessons that you're talking about, will they have learned some of those lessons? And I dug up a statistic that the average, and I'm sure you know all this, but the average downtime from an attack is 21 days when we're talking about ransomware, when we're talking about local governments, schools, public health. Even after paying a ransom, it takes an average of 287 days to fully recover. I mean, my goodness, I would think that this would be, and you and I talked about this before when we talked about your book, that this would be such a number one priority for especially big corporations, but also the entities that I named.
Yeah, I mean, by law, actually, they're all required to have a disaster recovery plan. They're all required to have a business continuity plan, and they're all required to work out scenarios about risk, and malware is one of those risks. I think the most frustrating thing here from a security professional's perspective is that whilst the malware itself is a complicated piece of software, how the malware got in and how it actually got enacted could have been avoided through good security awareness training, good policies, and even if the systems are encrypted, that if you had good backups, you should be able to get all of your critical systems back up and running. In fact, in the US, HIPAA requires you to have some policies and procedures and processes that allow you to bring all of your critical data back up within a certain amount of time. In Europe, we've got the NIS directive, and we've got other directives to protect critical infrastructure critical infrastructure assets. And part of it is to make sure that you look at all the different scenarios and you have a plan of action should something go wrong. In this case, I think the HSE, so the Health Service Executive, reacted reasonably well. But you're right, it's going to take them a lot of days to get back up and running. And they actually got the key back, or at least they were given a key by the criminals. But even with the key, it's going to take a long time to get everything back up and running. And we now have that delta of already a week worth of data that is data that is currently manual or verbal, and that we'll need to document and that we'll need to put back onto systems. So the impact and the disruption, it goes well beyond the initial 2 to 3 weeks. And you're talking about really months in terms of impact.
Wow, crazy. Matthew, thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you so much. A pleasure. Thank you.
Crazy, the cyber elephant in the boardroom, cyber accountability with the five pillars of security framework. Like I said at the top, it is really time for that to batten the hatches, so to speak. And Matthew knows what he's talking about. Absolutely, you can get that book on Amazon.
SuperTea.com. Powdy Arco Tea helps regenerate new cells. Everything from the cells in our skin to the cells in our organs so they function properly. Great for healthy people and can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a disease. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit DrinkSuperTea.com. or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.
As the coronavirus crisis continues, I've said it before, I'll say it again, now's not the time to retreat, panic, or stress out. Instead, refocus, reimagine, and reinvent. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary, the whole focus is on overcoming adversity. I share the secrets of some of the most accomplished people on the planet and how it applies to you. I agree with George Eliot, who famously said, it's never too late to be who you might have been. Pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, on Amazon.com.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now, and as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
Hey everybody, if you've ever thought about heirloom beans as a storable survival food, I've got great news. In fact, I'll bet it's the best news you've heard in a while. Here's the thing. We've just received a fresh batch of gourmet heirloom beans, survival soup beans. These beans are gorgeous, highly nutritious, and above all, with no hesitation whatsoever, the best tasting beans in the entire world. The best part? We've dropped the price by 33% this week for listeners who know higher food prices are coming and want an inflation hedge you can actually eat if you want to. Gets even better. With your permission and with a high regard for your health and well-being, I also want to send you 2 pounds of what we think is the single most underrated superfood in the world, period. Go to soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com, and discover the real reason we're giving this unusual superfood away at soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Now let's talk about the mail. Can we talk about the mail, please, Mac? I'm dying to talk about the mail with you all day, okay?
Let's dig in the mail bag.
Dig in the mail bag.
Let's dig in the mail bag.
Yeah.
We go right to Joseph in California, who said, Kate, what a tragic day for my former hometown. All those people that were killed in that rail yard rampage, and it turned out to be somebody who worked with them. You just never know if he had anger issues coming back and doing that. What in the world would motivate someone to go that far over the top? And then, of course, he offed himself, so there is no face in court for the families to see and to say what he has taken from them. But I guess finding the motive is the key thing, and I don't know that they necessarily have that motive. It's very strange, too. Looks like he blew up his house or set his house on fire and then planted bombs, too. So you had a bomb squad that was moving from room to room and trying to clear all of that area in the rail yard. Yeah, you know, Joseph, I've been to San Jose many, many times. In fact, there's an airport there I used to fly out of it, which is neither here nor there, but I spent time there. And I know that area because you see it when you drive by on a certain highway. You can see it from the highway, and it's actually not too far from the San Jose International Airport. But regardless, so these people had worked together, some of them for a long time, at the VTA light rail facility. And it's right there off of what they call Nimitz Freeway. And now, of course, you've got the FBI, Homeland Security, et cetera, all there and really processing this crime scene. And they're saying, to your point about the bombs, that it's fairly sizable, and it's going to take a while to get through it, because the shooter, alleged shooter who killed himself, Samuel Cassidy, was licensed with the Bureau of Automotive Repair as a smog check repair tech since 2003. He had worked for a car dealership, and apparently, you know, as they look at the firearm background of that, he had some knowledge, at least two, as far as bombs are concerned. So what was ultimately, what was it he was really trying to do? I mean, he sets the fire, and they're trying to make, they're trying to see the tie to that, and then goes to work and opens fire. So, of course, flags are at half staff, and there's a fundraiser for victims and the families, and, you know, the buses kept running, and the VTA did what they had to do to keep the systems up and going. But I think the very heavy, heavy hearts, and the people that didn't know whether their families were alive or not had a few hours to try to deal with that as they were trying to trace them down, you know, identify the people who were killed, and that's rough. All right, we move to this one from Sam. I am completely different. He says, Kate, I've heard you talk about the president running in 2024. Do you really think he'll do that? And what are the odds that there's enough backing? Your timing is impeccable, because there's a Quinnipiac poll that's out that shows that there's a big Republican majority that favors another Trump campaign in 2024. So that's what you look at, right? And he's hinted at it. When he spoke at CPAC, he made a hint about it. The numbers are 66% that believe that he'll make a third run for the presidency. And, you know, if they can't vote for Trump, if that doesn't happen, then who is the likely Republican who shows up in that slot? And there wasn't much of an agreement as to who that is. I mean, some 85% of the Republicans who were polled said they wanted candidates that mostly agree with Trump and his policies in this poll. 66%. 53% overall want a candidate that is opposed to Trump and his policies. That's also in there. And the university says the numbers are fairly similar to polls that were taken after the election. 57% of Americans feel, I'm going to just throw this in, feel the Republican Party is headed in the wrong direction, while they're almost split, 46-44%, with most saying Democrats are headed in the wrong direction. All right. So I think there is a, I don't know, I think there's no doubt he's going to run in 2024, actually, I do. I unless something would be an obstacle that he can't see right now, meaning health or something else, I think he will run. And then here's my other, kind of going down the rabbit hole before I jump back in the mailbag, here's my other thought. If you've got Trump saying he's going to do that, let's say he totally commits, who are the Republicans that are going to come out and who are also going to run? What Republicans are going to run, and what one would beat Trump would win that away from him, in other words, and represent the Republicans? Ooh, never a dull moment when it comes to politics in the United States. All right, this one is from Jerry, and Jerry says, Kate, the idea of what Rand Paul is saying, that Anthony Fauci should be made to testify about Wuhan money, is mind-boggling to me, unless there's something I'm missing. I heard a little blip about it. Do you know what he's talking about? And I'm assuming it has something to do with the, you know, the role that he has at the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases. Well, bing, bing, bing on that. What Paul is saying is he can't investigate himself. And, of course, he squares off a lot with Fauci. We know that. He said he was responsible for giving money. He has incentive to cover it up and not reveal the truth. And what he's saying is he should be made to testify because did money from the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, was it used to finance gain, to a financial gain of function research at the Wuhan Institute of Virology? So he's saying if that's true, wouldn't he have great culpability, and shouldn't that be investigated, and shouldn't he be excluded from the investigation? Now, the reason for the comments, I think, is because Fauci told a House Appropriations Subcommittee on Tuesday of this week that the National Institutes of Health had earmarked over $500,000 to the Chinese Institute over a five-year period to study whether bat coronaviruses could be transmitted to humans. The money sent to Wuhan through the nonprofit EcoHealth Alliance was to be used as a modest collaboration with the Chinese experts, not for gain of function research, is what Fauci said, which is what he testified to. And he said the research takes a virus that can infect humans and makes it either more transmissible or it looks at the path. But he says that categorically was not done, that it was not done. So we'll see where this lands. You know, the comments from Rand Paul, the senator from Kentucky, came after the report that the Biden administration stopped the State Department investigation launched late last year under then Secretary of State Mike Pompeo into whether the coronavirus had originated in the Wuhan lab. And now here we are. The president wants to know what happened there and renewed an order for intelligence officials to find the origin of the coronavirus. Yeah, so follow the political bouncing ball if you can. Okay? Let's just put it that way. Here's one, kind of a break from what we're normally talking about. Here's one from Roger, who says, Kate, a tip of the cap to my man Lefty. I heard you gushing over him. Phil Mickelson is a treasure. Six championships. The PGA was sweet, especially because he fell apart on a few holes, and then he was spectacular on others. He's human. He is. Send me your thoughts, Kate at katedelaneyradio.com. Coronavirus crisis continues. I've said it before, I'll say it again. Now's not the time to retreat, panic, or stress out. Instead, refocus, reimagine, and reinvent. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary, the whole focus is on overcoming adversity. I share the secrets of some of the most accomplished people on the planet and how it applies to you. I agree with George Eliot, who famously said, it's never too late to be who you might have been. Pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, on Amazon.com.
DrinkSuperTea.com. Powdy Arco Tea builds red corpuscles in our blood, which carries oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate. Our immune system needs oxygen to develop. And cancer dies in oxygen. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.